This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I know there's a bunch of people up there that lost bets. You never thought in a million years we'd make it to 300, but we did. We also made it to a Friday. Welcome to Packer and Durham on ACC Network, and we continue to stream live on the ESPN app. Of course, you got us on SiriusXM Channel 371. If you'd like to participate with this program over the next 2 hours and 58 minutes, you can at 844-SAY-ACCN. I am Mark Packer, and my partner would be Wes Durham. Mr. Durham, we made it to 300. Congratulations. Good morning.
Congratulations to you, and I have one question this morning. What time is that loan meeting?
I am going to wear this suit and tie all day long. I am going to do...
No, you're not.
I am
no,
so.
No, you're not.
This afternoon on SiriusXM Channel 84 for Off Campus, another three-hour extravaganza from 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, I will be wearing this exact same outfit and a headset.
No, you will not.
Yes, I will. And let me tell you something, Mr. Durham.
No, you...
At 7:01 p.m., when the day is over and I was ready to watch Friday duels, which I hate. I got bad news because yesterday was not a good day.
Bad news.
I plan on wearing this outfit and taking out my bride, my better half, and we are going to do the town. I am going to wear this till midnight tonight. I figured if I am going to get dressed up.
Is that
up,
when you have to have it back?
No, I own all of the. This is my. Wait a minute. This is my tie. This is my button down. This is my blazer. And it is mine. Now, I can't tell you it's an extensive list when you walk into my side of the closet because all I need is a baseball hat and a pair of jeans and a good T-shirt for the whole week. But I plan on wearing this till midnight tonight, and I plan on wining and dining my beautiful bride. And if I'm going to dress up like this for all day because I've been dressed like this when I'm walking out the dogs at 3:30 in the morning – I will wear it all stinking day long. That includes this show, Off Campus, and tonight, since we don't have wrestling on ACC Network.
I speak for a lot of people on the staff of the Packer and Durham television program on the ACC Network. We're going to need some photographic evidence later in the day.
No problem.
Of you in this coat and tie.
No problem. That is a piece of cake. Because the amount of time it takes me to normally get dressed for our program, I would say over and under is about, I don't know, 45 seconds, right? The amount of time it took me to tie a knot and put this costume on was about 15 minutes.
About 45 minutes.
Yeah. So I am going to maximize the effort. If I'm going to go to this extreme every 100 shows, I am going to live the life. I'm going to pretend I'm one of those executive suits up there at ESPN or SiriusXM in the corner office and look the part for at least 24 hours.
Okay. A couple things here. First of all, congratulations on your coat and tie. Second of all, I'd like to say that I am honoring the stars of the show.
That's it.
We're doing 300s of these. Yeah. These are the stars of the show.
That's right.
Shout out to Jim Daves. Once again, he has provided us with the great Chester and Fuller shirts. Very limited edition. And therefore, I would say, thank you, Jim. I'm honoring the stars of the show. And play your cards right, America. You may get a Clifford appearance today, too. Anyway.
And one other thing, too. Wait a minute. One other thing that needs to be pointed out immediately for folks that are still up and watching this. We do not have these for sale. Do not ask, hey, can I get one of those Chester and Fuller sweatshirts or T-shirts or mugs? We don't have them. We've been telling the suits, the smart people, they need to do a merchandising with this program. I'm telling you, every day of the week, I am asked for some kind of, hey, where can I go buy one of those? Right. We don't have them. Now, C.J. Spiller, the Hall of Famer, was on the other day and said he wants a Packer and Durham mug. I do have a mug that's literally sitting right over here that I'm going to send to C.J. But we don't have these for sale. I'm just telling you. Hate to break the news to you. I wish we did. So there's no Chester and Fuller. There's no Clifford D. Cat. There's no Packer and Durham stuff, right? That's all we got.
All right. Second question. When's the last time you buttoned 8 buttons on a dress shirt?
I can tell you, 100 shows ago. 100 shows ago. And people are going, well, Pat, don't you go to church? Well, I normally would, but we can't go to church. Everything's online. I've been doing the church thing via Zoom. So 100 shows ago was the coat and tie. That's the last time I put one on.
All right.
That's it. Okay. Every 100 right. shows. It's truth. Being transparent. Completely honest.
I love it. Pack is going to be in a coat and tie for
midnight.
Oh my God. We're going to go for 17 hours today? You're going to go 17 hours in a coat and tie?
I'm going to go 21 hours. I told you at 3:30 in the morning, I'm walking the dogs. I was ready to go. At 3:30, I'm ready to roll.
You were in a coat and tie at 3:30 in the morning?
If they said, Pack, at 3:45, we're going live, I'd be ready to go. Let's do it. So I'm going to go.
Were you in a coat and tie at 3:45 in the morning walking the dogs?
No, 3:30. 3:30. So I'm going to go basically, this is going to be a 21-hour day for me. Now, I tell you what, if I play my cards right, I might just go to bed with this.
Coat and tie. Why
were
you
doing the show?
Why are you wearing a coat and tie all week? I told the dogs.
Because I'm up. I don't sleep. I'm reading. I'm working on stuff. So I'm just ready to go. I don't roll out of bed at 6:15 and go, oh shoot, man, the show's in 45 minutes. Come on,
Marge, you
do stuff.
Marge, I think Mark Packer is walking his dogs.
Yeah, there's nobody
a
up.
Coat and tie.
I could walk down the street flat out naked and nobody'd know. I mean, there's nobody moving around at 3 a.m. on my street.
Your evil twin's already in enough trouble. We don't need video. If we don't need anything involving you and the law.
Let me tell you something. My evil twin is in a lot of trouble. My evil twin, which we might get to later. When I read that, that was not good. My evil twin.
Not good.
When we get him off the grounds at Augusta, bad stuff starts to happen to him. That is not good news. If you don't know what we're talking about, stay tuned.
All right. I'd hate to waste the coat and tie on this frivolous discussion about you and your regularity of coat and tie.
But we do have
items to cover. We have a piece of news to handle here in the opening segment. We've got a great show. We've got a lot of great guests. Monica McNutt will be here. Seth Greenberg's going to join us. Dana Evans, the star of Louisville, who helped the Cards to another win last night, is going to stop by as well. Plus, we'll get to some of your phone calls and news and items and bunch of other stuff too. Let's start with the University of Virginia. The Cavaliers yesterday made news. That athletics department, in particular the women's basketball program, announced that it would going to cease and step down for the remainder of the season based on COVID protocols and other ancillary things that have happened with that program involving injury and everything else. A statement released by the University of Virginia yesterday said the decision was made with overall health and safety of the student athletes and staff in mind after the program postponed or canceled 6 games due to COVID protocols. Injuries have also left the Cavaliers with a depleted roster, impacting the ability to safely practice and compete. Our thoughts with Tina Thompson and certainly Carla Williams, the athletic director. We feel for those young women on that program. There have been a variety of different things written in the last 12 to 18 hours about this, and include some things about, you know, the concerns of mental health and things like that. You know, let's be honest. We talked about that aspect of it as well. But the depleted numbers pack, that is the number one thing that comes into play when something like this happens.
Well, let's just cut right to the chase. If you can't play, then you shouldn't. And again, safety and health are going to be priority number one.
Yep.
And it's already happened at Duke, where they've shut down the women's program for the rest of the year. Now it's happened at the University of Virginia. And I suspect, Wes, given what we have seen here recently in the world of college basketball, both the men and the women, I'd be stunned if that's the last time we see that. I think it's going to happen where you just finally say, hey, we just can't play games. We had so many postponements and cancellations yesterday, not only within the ACC, but around the country in multiple sports. It's just the world that we're living in. So it's really unfortunate what's happened at Duke, what's happened at Virginia on the women's basketball side. But, hey, you've got to do what you've got to do, right? And if you have to stay completely healthy by saying, listen, we just can't participate, that's what you do this year. And, you know, we hate it for all people involved and all parties involved, but if that's the smart thing to do, then it's really an easy decision, quite frankly.
Yeah, no, and certainly when it becomes numbers, and that's the key thing. Right. Remember, we said that a long time ago about football, and it's certainly more applicable here with basketball as well. Numbers dictate a lot of this, and if they felt like they were going to be in single numbers or whatever the number was to make it, you know, hard to practice and compete, then, you know, you clearly understand where the University of Virginia is and respect the decision. All right, we got three ball games on the women's surface last night, and let's start with the number two cards. We mentioned Dana Evans going to join the show. She was sensational again last night. She finished with 24. Boston College won 89-70 last night, Pack, at home for Louisville against the Eagles. They're 11-0. Louisville won 89-70 over Boston College. 11-0 is Louisville, 4-0 in the ACC. Coach Mack's teams 5-6 and 1-6 in conference play. But there's Dana doing what Dana does.
We look forward to having her back. She will now be the most active appearance by any student athlete will be Dana Evans when she makes her appearance later in the show. We've had her on, I think, three times before. She is awesome to talk to, and man, can she play. I mean, she is a difference maker, right? When you've got that kind of just solid backcourt play, she's smart, she can score, she can dish, she understands, she's savvy. I mean, Jeff Falls knows that he's got such an advantage having Dana on the court. And she, like I said, she is takes it to another level. I can't wait to get her back on the show. She's always fun and insightful. But man, can she play. And Louisville is really good. And it still makes me sick that we're not getting NC State Louisville this weekend. I mean, I was kind of primed on that one for the last couple of weeks thinking, hey, if you were only going to watch one ACC women's basketball game this year, that was the one, right? That was the game.
Yeah.
And as Debbie Antonelli said yesterday, and rightfully so, those are two Final Four teams. Those are two teams that can cut down the nets at the end of the day. But Louisville's really, really good. Outstanding.
Speaking of Debbie Antonelli, she and Jen Hildreth last night with some cannon fodder during the broadcast.
Uh-oh, this is trouble.
Oh, man, checking out some fancy footwear from Jeff Walls, telling you about Packer and Durham. You know where to go every weekday morning starting at 7 a.m. Eastern on ACC Network. I want to see if those guys in the basement can bust out some shoes like Jeff Walls on the sideline. What do you think, Debbie?
Oh, I know Pac-Man's got all kinds of style. Wes, I'm not so sure about.
Wes.
Hey, I grew up with Wes. He and I we're from the crib. We're from the same streets of Cary and Apex, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wait a minute. Now let me comment first on that. And we love Debbie, right?
That's right.
She's one of our all-timers.
One of our favorites. Yeah. Still one of our favorites.
Everybody's one of our favorites, but she's really great. Now, let me just vouch on this. And don't let today's screenshot fool you, because this is really a misnomer, right? When it comes to style, when it comes to style between me and Wes, it isn't even close. I mean, like I'm telling you, I am the baseball hat, blue jean wearing, jumping to Ford F-150, got the dogs, looking for a barbecue joint. When it comes to style, I have zero. My man Wes is a professional broadcaster. The dude will show up on game day looking like he's getting ready to go on a talk show circuit. All right, so the style points, I mean, Debbie's taking shots, but she really had it completely backwards, totally backwards. So that I'm going to take up for you, Wes. You don't need to put up with that.
Thank you, Pac.
You don't.
Thank you, Pac.
Yeah.
I would like to see you get a pair of the Jeff Walls shoes, though.
I like those. And listen, totally separate topic. And we're going off the rails already for 50 minutes. And I've told you this the other day.
What's 300?
Right. I told you this the other day. I love Louisville's home court. I think they've got the coolest looking court in the league. And we could maybe do a whole segment, another show on this. But to see those kicks last night, the old Adidas throwbacks and the Duncan card, that is strong. Got to tell you. If they got those in the size 15, I'd wear them. If Adidas makes those into 15, they could send me a pair. I'll wear them. I'll wear them in 2 seconds.
15.
I'm a 15.
Okay.
But they got
them. I like those.
I do too.
Look at that.
Love them.
Oh, look, they're the old. I want to know if that's his picture on the tongue of the shoe.
It is.
It's Jeff Walls' picture on the tongue of the shoe?
Yes.
I
tell you what, if the Louisville athletic department has got a size 15, you send them over here, I'll wear those things every day. And believe me, I would wear them every day. That's great right there.
Oh, man.
You got to love those.
Boy, Debbie wasn't kidding when she said it's Walls' world and we're just living it.
That's exactly right. Huh? Those are strong. I tell you what, man. I tell you what would be a perfect guess. And maybe Vince Tyree's watching this morning. You go find some 15s in stock. And you know what fits good in those 15s? Two bottles of Kentucky's Finest. Send them right on over here to the basement. I'll take good care of you. Guarantee you.
You send Pack the size 15, Vince. You can send me the other 15. And you know what I mean. Here are the other two games from last night. Let's go to South Bend, Indiana. Neil Ivey. Nice win for Notre Dame. They beat Wake Forest 79-72. Matty Westbelt, by the way, is having a nice season for the Irish. She had 25 in the ball game last night. You see 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. It offset, they needed all of Maddie's efforts because Gina Conti, Packer and Durham favorite, had 29 last night for the Deacons in the victory.
But she missed a free throw.
Congratulations to Neil Ivey and Notre Dame.
She missed a free throw. About that. We just had Coach Hoover on, right? We just had her on.
Yes.
Gina Conti missed her third free throw. I think, you know what I'm going to do? Here's what I'm going to do.
Beef jerky and Yoo-Hoo?
No. Better than that.
Oh, okay.
Every time Gina Conti misses a free throw moving forward, I want to make a donation to a Wake Forest women's charity in Winston-Salem.
Okay.
Whatever it is. Every time Gina misses a free throw, I will make a monetary donation to Wake Forest women's favorite charity in the Winston-Salem area. All right? Because every time I've mentioned Gina's free throw, something has gone wrong in the next game. She's missed one. She's only missed 3 all year.
All right.
Is that fair?
That's it. Sure. I'm in for it.
So with Jen Hoover and their staff and the girls up there in Winston come up with, hey, we want PAC to make a donation to whatever. So every time Gina misses one, I'm coming off the hip for some monetary number, whatever we come up with. All right?
There you go. Sounds good. The other game, Virginia Tech, Kenny Brooks and Hokies pick up nice road win, 66-54 the final. You bet it was. Elizabeth Kittley set the screen right there, but she ended up with 18 points and 14 rebounds last night to help lead the Hokies to the victory. Nice win at Carmichael Arena for Kenny Brooks' team, who, Pack, as we know, had been really close in a couple games. And not been able to close. Last night, they clearly closed, winning by a dozen. And there's Liz right around the glass on the defensive end of the floor for Virginia Tech. So that gets you caught up on women's basketball last night in the ACC.
Yeah, Hokies pulled away in the third quarter. And that's a tough loss for North Carolina because everybody we've brought on the show to break down ACC hoops, we talk about that cluster behind Louisville and NC State. And, of course, Syracuse has been in the top 25 all year. There's three teams you feel all right about. And then you've got this cluster of about 5 or 6 teams that you're looking for breakthrough. Almost every analyst on here said, hey, beware of North Carolina. They can score, da-da-da. I mean, that's a tough loss at home now, especially Virginia Tech, who's really been struggling finding a way to win close games. What a terrific win for Coach Brooks, no question.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. On a Friday, it is show 300. Do not adjust your sets. Only happens once every 100 shows or so. All right, Wes, we've got ourselves a ball game or two tomorrow. on the men's side. And there's a couple of note, which we're going to get into. The first one involves a couple teams that we believe are in the upper tier of the ACC, and that's Virginia and Clemson. The game's in Little John, and it just kind of – I know Virginia shot the ball extremely well the other day, which is great. They reached an 80 spot. But, man, this game just feels like defense. The Tigers have been playing great D. In Virginia, you're known for right. it. So I suspect this is a blue-collar, roll-up-your-sleeves-and-get-after-it game tomorrow in Little John.
Yeah, I think so. And it looks like, you know, because number Clemson and Virginia are 1-2 in scoring defense, but they're also really good in defensive efficiency, according to some of the analytics. But who does it mean more for tomorrow, Pack? I mean, Clemson certainly wants to be in that front third, if you will, of the ACC as we work our way to the end of January and certainly into February. Virginia hasn't lost a conference regular season game in almost a year, by the way. February 8th of 2020 was the last one. But have we seen Virginia play at the highest level this year? Cavaliers have yet to play. Tomorrow will be their first top 100 opponent in the net, when you think about it, in terms of wins. You know, who have they beaten? That's a here. The question is, they've got two wins over Notre Dame. They got a William & Mary win. They've got a Kent State, St. Francis, BC, and Wake Forest. You know, when they go to the Gonzagas of the world, that kind of thing, it hadn't gone very well. Well, so let's see what happens tomorrow with the Cavaliers.
A couple things. That list you see on the screen right now is not going to impress a whole lot of folks. Got to be honest with you. I mean, there's a lot of big right. numbers on that list in terms of who have you beaten. But I think we all know what Virginia is all about. And when you compare anybody against sure. Gonzaga, it's probably not going to turn mm-hmm. out well. That Zag team is really a special group. And they've embarrassed a lot of good teams, including Virginia. But this game tomorrow right. just kind of feels like, hey, you know what? This is one of those, who is the alpha in the ACC? We've been asking that question now for the last couple of weeks as we've concentrated on hoops. Tomorrow's game kind of gives you an answer. Not that that becomes mm-hmm. the team, but it becomes one of those teams, right? I think both of them are in the hunt. And maybe the best thing going for Clemson's sake is that the ESPN BPI thinks Virginia is going to win at a 58% clip. That's the same group that picked NC State to beat Florida State at a 51% clip the other day before the Noles shot 71% and won by 100. I think this can be a terrific game. Clemson coming off the pause, Virginia coming off their best offensive performance. Two really well-coached teams. This game kind of feels to me a lot like the NC State-Clemson game a week ago before the Wolfpack lost three straight. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to get into the Florida State-North Carolina game, which is another one this weekend. But this game feels like a big deal tomorrow at 6 p.m. down there in Clemson, South Carolina.
Yeah, and you look at where Virginia is in terms of its scoring. The 80 the other night certainly looks like an outlier when you look at their numbers. I mean, it's the best they had since they beat Towson 89-54. But this ball game will be told at the defensive end of the floor. And if you're looking for matchups tomorrow, start inside with how Clemson handles Jay Huff.
Yep.
Sometimes Amir Sims can find some foul trouble. It's happened in ball games against, Purdue earlier this year for Clemson, things like that. I mean, that has got to be a concern for Brad Brownell and his staff. Meanwhile, how does Virginia handle the mixing and matching of the perimeter of the Tigers? Alamir Dawes, Nick Honor. How does that go down on the Virginia side of things? I think that's why it's the best game of the weekend for sure in the ACC.
I agree, and I think Dallin Cuff brought up a great point yesterday. You know what? Clemson's going to get in your grill. So, hey, Virginia, 94 feet for 40 minutes. How are you going to handle it? Now, again, home court, we've talked about it.
Yep.
Throw home court away. Doesn't mean anything anymore. You're playing in an empty gym. Go play. I think if Virginia shoots as well as they did the other day against Notre Dame, you know what? If Virginia can shoot and score, I always like their chances because they're Virginia and, you know, Tony Bennett's a great coach. But they don't always shoot and score like that. And Clemson will get down and dirty with you and enjoy that kind of game. And I think this Clemson team has got better depth than they have maybe ever. with Brad Brunell. This might be his deepest team in terms of quality players coming off the bench and giving you production. It's a tremendous matchup. And like I said, when we get back here on Monday, God willing that we have this game. Of course, we always say that. This is going to be one of the things that we immediately talk about on Monday is the winner of this game and how they now position themselves in the big picture of the ACC race.
Well, two things to keep in mind. Field goal percentage defense, Clemson is third in the league. Virginia is seventh. There's basically a percentage point, 39.1 to 40.6 is the difference. So what's that, a point and a half, I guess. Three-point field goal percentage defense, Clemson is holding opponents under 30%. Virginia is allowing opponents to hit 34%. So the shooting numbers are in the same neighborhood, right? I think that's important. I think somebody's got to break free. Look for things within the game tomorrow. Second chance points, free throw attempts, turnover margin. What's the rebounding going to look like? Clemson's been pretty good on rebounding this year, Pac. It's going to be interesting to see. Their numbers, Virginia and Clemson are almost identical in terms of rebound margin. So, you know, it's going to be something different tomorrow. It's going to be a detailed game, I'm sure.
Well, here's the one thing I would tell you. I think you got to look a little bit deeper than those numbers. Clemson's played a lot better competition. Clemson's beaten teams
of note.
When we went through that list of, hey, we beat Kent State, we beat William & Mary, we played Notre Dame twice, you know, Clemson's beaten people. You know, Clemson's beaten Alabama. Yep. They've beaten Maryland. They've beaten Purdue. They've beaten Mississippi State. They've beaten Florida State. Clemson's, I think, a more tougher, hardened team than Virginia. And so does that come into play tomorrow? I think it will, to be honest with you. We'll see. Yeah. Can't wait. Should be a good one.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
In case you missed it, Raekwon Evans, who only lit up the Wolfpack for a career-high 24, joined us yesterday, and we asked him, yeah, no doubt. It was a great win, but man, it just had to be fun playing basketball again.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, everybody was anxious to play with the little break we had, the practices and the games we missed. Practice was getting really competitive, and we just wanted to play somebody. So yesterday we just emphasized following the game plan and just having fun, and we came out and had fun, and it just felt great to compete.
You know, Raekwon, it's hard for every team to go through these pauses because you're the uncertainty of what you lose in those pauses. You don't know if you can kind of keep your momentum, right? And you guys came out, and really, to be honest with you, of the teams Mark and I've talked about here on the show that go through these pauses, there's no doubt who the most impressive return belongs to, and that's you guys last night. Mentally, where were you guys in wanting to play, and did you think, okay, we've had two or three days of practice coming off the contact tracing and the pause to say, okay, we're now ready to go. And then to have that kind of performance last night, it's almost like you didn't leave, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yes, sir. Coaches really emphasize that, you know, we don't know whether we're going to be able to play again or not. So if anything, our focus has to be more mental. So, you know, as a group, we came together and just decided that from here on out, we're just going to focus on the small details, try to stay mentally locked in as much as possible. And we had a couple good practices, and then shoot around felt great. Everybody was talking, everybody was locked in. And then, you know, it came to our game and it seemed like we didn't miss a step. Just everybody was just so focused.
By the way, you missed two shots last night. Do you remember those two?
I do not.
You don't.
It's a shooter.
That's when you know you're in the vibe. And that's when you know you're in the zone, right? Shots, I missed shots. No, I mean, I remember making everything I looked at. That's when you know you are locked in. No, I don't remember missing any shots. You didn't miss many. The whole team. I'm telling you, I've watched a lot of basketball. I couldn't turn off the game because I was thinking, all right, this hot streak, you know, you see teams go through runs. Everybody goes through a run. Your run lasted about 38 minutes last night. I mean, it was one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, everybody was just locked in. Everybody had a great feeling. Everybody was shooting with confidence, taking what the defense was giving us. And then we went out and performed.
I'd say.
All right, you got the start last night. Take me through that mentally. What was that like? Because you've been a guy that's really been a spark from the bench. You're one of the first two or three guys into every ball game for Florida State. It's kind of been your role. And then, you know, coming out of this break, you get the start. What was that like for you?
I mean, I felt like it was a great feeling just to be able to use my presence early in the game, you know, with Scotty being tweaked a little bit with his injury. They called my name, and I just had to make sure that I did everything I could to keep our offense going, bring a tremendous amount of energy on defense, and just be a team player. And I felt like I demonstrated that for my team early, and then I think that's what got me going, just to be able to be out there and, you know, see my guys having fun, see my coaching staff having fun, and then it just made it a lot easier to have fun yesterday.
Raekwon, you guys play so many dudes, right? It's just the way Leonard has built his program, that whether you start or coming off the bench, you know you're going to get minutes. And when you play, you know you got to go, you know, as hard as you possibly can. And you talked about having so much fun last night. I couldn't help but notice, again, the game was in hand, but the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game, you got some guys out there getting some quality minutes. And some of the shots that were being made inside 2 minutes – if you guys are out there playing a game of horse, those are some of the shots. I mean, I'm telling you, when I'm watching guys making shots from midcourt last night, I'm like, wow. Yeah, whatever those dudes are drinking, I want some of it, because I hope it could rub off on you. But that's going to be a great thing, right? You guys put in all this work, but to see guys at the end of the game having fun, making shots, just making plays left and right on both ends of the floor, it can't get any better than that.
Oh, it's an amazing feeling just to see your brother out there being very successful. You know, Coach Hamilton takes pride on playing a lot of guys, and we all share playing time. Nobody has a problem with it. You know, we're all just rooting for each other and trying to get to the end goal at the end of the day. So just being able to support your brothers and be happy for the next man up, that's what we really pride ourselves on.
All right, so you catapult off that last night. You guys are back in the flow, and all of a sudden – put 105 up on NC State. Now here comes Carolina. Those games are always fun to watch. Bigs running up and down the floor, fast pace, high tempo game. What do you expect on Saturday after seeing Carolina here in the last week?
I'm gonna expect for a dogfight. You know, they're very physical. They really crash the boards. They're good in transition. They have size. They have speed. So it's gonna be a challenge for us. But I'm excited just to be able to compete against them. You know, they're a great program, and it's just going to be fun to be able to compete against them, especially.
You know, when you go through – I want to go back to the pause a second, because nobody's seemingly been able to get into any kind of a rhythm of a season. So, number one, mentally what you've got to go through to, number one, stay healthy, to be able to practice, hopefully compete. When you went through the pause, Raekwon, how difficult was that to say, all right – tag, we're it. Looks like we're going to be off for about a week, week and a half, maybe two. Who knows how this thing's going to play out. So how do you stay focused in the quote-unquote downtime, if there's such a thing, when you start talking about December now into January?
I mean, honestly, you got to use the downtime to your advantage. You got to watch film, you know, go over whatever it may be, past games, to kind of work on and see the things that you maybe didn't or weren't as locked in on. So just taking that time to prepare mentally more than physically, because since you can't do much physically, you know, you got to try to strengthen your mind, try to get back in that basically the game mode, and try to prepare for the next game.
I know you transferred into the program from Northern Idaho. You grew up, I guess, is that right? You grew up in South Carolina and then moved back to Montana right before high school. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there a little bit of acclimation you go through in that first year coming from junior college to Florida State? I mean, you played a role on that team last year, certainly. You got some minutes. You knew what the ACC was going to be about. But what's your comfort level this year? Because you seem to be one of the really key elements, whether it's starting or coming off the bench in that first couple-man rotation. You seem to be one of those guys that can make a real big difference in the way this season goes now.
Yeah, the transition from junior college, it was a little tough for me because, you know, the speed of the ACC, the pace, the intensity of our coaches, you know, it was all different. So it took some time to learning. And thankfully, I had, you know, Raekwon Gray, MJ Walker, Anthony Polite, Trent Forrest, you know, one of the most winningest players in Florida State history. I got to, you know, learn from him, always watch him, mirror him. So it helped a lot. And then as I developed my role, I just tried to stick to my role, be the best I could possibly be in my role for my team. And that's what has led to this year as well, just trying to be the best I could possibly be in my role.
Another impressive guy on that Florida State roster. Yeah, I said this yesterday, man. Those Florida State kids are strong, man. They have great conversations, and, man, can they play. And Leonard Hamilton has done a great job. Not good, great job recruiting the right kind of players on that roster to succeed on the court, in the classroom, and, like I said, every time they're on the show, they're impressive to talk to.
Packer and Durham.
Great guests, show 300, all that good stuff. And speaking of good stuff, Florida State was nothing short of spectacular. Ooh. I mean, phenomenal against NC State this week, shooting nearly 71%. And here come the Heels on a three-game winning streak, and they are heading to Tallahassee tomorrow, another big game in the ACC this weekend.
Yeah, it's at high noon tomorrow on ESPN with Dan Shulman and Jay Billis. Let me bring something into focus here, and we don't need Dr. Naismith alongside to tell you this. If Florida State shoots 71% tomorrow, Tar Heel fans, you're not going to win. You're not going to win. I mean, you're just not. Now, I don't think they'll shoot 71%, but holy smokes, what a statement coming off a pause. Pack, I watched the game the other night and was thinking a little bit about having seen Carolina the night before, and the perimeter thing has to be a major concern for Carolina going to the Tucker Center tomorrow.
It's a concern not only tomorrow, but the rest of the season for Roy's guys. I mean, you got to be able to make shots. I mean, we know how big and strong they are inside, rebounds, all that good stuff. That's not a problem. This is a big game. This is a game for North Carolina to make a statement on the road to go, guess what? We've won 4 in a row. We're 4-2. You better include us in that conversation. And it's a big statement for Florida State to build on the momentum of their first game in 21.
That's right.
Was so awesome. And I'm sure they've heard everybody go, oh, my gosh, you could beat the Lakers, yada, yada, yada. But, hey, that's now rearview mirror, right? That's yesterday's news. So now the Noles have to get back to business and prove and kind of say, hey, put their stamp down and go, guess what? We haven't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
You know what? We won this league last year, and we are one of the best teams, maybe the best team again this year. So it's a showdown game. I don't know if I'm going to call it Separation Saturday. We've got that on football all this time. But it's kind of like a definition weekend, right? Clemson, Virginia.
It's a prove-it weekend.
No question. Yeah. And the same thing with Florida State, North Carolina. It's like when we get back on Monday, like I said, we're going to have a little clearer picture of the alpha world in the ACC. Who are the real players here, right? I mean, we feel good about Louisville. We'll talk about them in a second. Virginia Tech's playing well. Clemson's doing their thing. Florida State's in the mix. Virginia is undefeated. And who else can knock down the door? We're not going to see Duke till next week. North Carolina's on the fringe. Again, we keep looking for answers. We start getting some answers tomorrow.
The bigs inside tomorrow, Baycott, Garrison Brooks, Dayron Sharp against Koprivica and whoever else they want to throw at you from Florida State. That is an area where Carolina can have some success. The element that faces Carolina tomorrow is foul trouble and, oh, by the way, turnovers against the Florida State pressure. So those two areas in particular, keep an eye on early. Brooks played well the other night in the win against the Orange. I thought Baycott was outstanding. Dayron Sharp, early foul trouble. But he's had moments, as everybody knows, in two of the last three ball games, including the win at Miami. Those two concepts tomorrow, foul trouble in the bigs, how their productivity works, turnovers for Carolina against Florida State's pressure, because you know it's going to be there. Florida State's going to throw bodies at them. How does Carolina handle all that? And look, Florida State's going to be a favorite to win the thing. 19 home game winning streak in ACC play. But be mindful of the fact Leonard Hamilton's team shot 71% the other night. They're not going to shoot 71% again, but clearly made a statement about that they're ready to roll. And it is a prove. That's why I say it's a prove it Saturday. If Florida State's going to be in the top of this thing, or if Carolina wants to be in the mix, this is what that kind of game is tomorrow for the Tar Heels at noon.
Couple things, too. The Syracuse matchup, I don't equate that at all to what they're going to see tomorrow. I mean, North Carolina had a definite advantage inside. They're playing that zone all day. It's the exact opposite tomorrow. Florida State's going to have length and size and bodies, and they're going to get in your face and hit you with waves of players. So it's a totally different animal than Syracuse. And, of course, North Carolina's had great success against Syracuse, winning 10 of the last 11. So you're going to have to make outside shots. And here's the other thing on the Florida State side. Scotty Barnes kind of tweaked the ankle a little bit. I want to see what he looks like. Yep. And if it can't go, hey, it's next man up, Leonard, right? He just says, next guy, let's go. Let's go play.
Raekwon Evans.
We had Raekwon on the show yesterday. He has a career high 24. I mean, so Florida State can do that to you. They can just kind of wear you down with athletic, long bodies. And that is what North Carolina's going to have to see. I don't think North Carolina can win this game unless they shoot the ball well. And that has been a problem for this team. If they shoot the ball well, they absolutely have a chance to win. But if it's another one of those, you know, clang, clang, clang all day, I don't know how they win the game. So, but that's why we play. It's why we keep score.
Totally agree with you. The other one, Louisville and Miami. Cards have won five in a row, including three road ACC games. Miami just lost at Boston College earlier this week. In a game, quite frankly, where the Eagles shot it well from the perimeter, I think Louisville is here to stay, Pack. They need to flex, if you know what I mean, even though it's a road game. 8 o'clock tomorrow night on ACC Network with Jay Alter and Malcolm Huckabee. I'd say this, David Johnson, Samuel Williamson, Carleek Jones, Withers. You saw a little bit of Charles Menlin the other night in Winston-Salem. If I'm Chris Mack, I want to keep that grind going for the Cards. For Jim Larranega, if you get Chris Likes back, great. If Cam McGusty's 100%, if you can channel some of the things you did against Carolina and Clemson in tough losses or the road win at NC State, good for you. But right now, these guys in black who won the other night in Winston-Salem, they kind of got it going, to be honest with you.
Jim Larranega just needs some warm bodies. They got worked over by BC. Eagles made everything they looked at and ran him out of the gym, which was a big win for BC. Miami will play hard. That's the one thing I've really admired about what is left of Jim Larranega's roster. They play hard.
Yep.
I just don't know, like you said, at some point in time, you got to hopefully get healthy. And I'm sure Louisville fans are watching us right now going, hey, how about when we get healthy? That's what's been so impressive about the Cards. Yeah. They've gotten off to a good start, and they're not at 100% either. So I think if you're Louisville, hey, you steal another one on the road if you can. You put it in your back pocket and you move on down the road to the next one. For Miami, you just got to figure out a way to get healthy bodies on the floor. And I just don't think they've got enough healthy bodies. But that is why we play. And, you know, maybe going on the road all week, does that have an effect on Louisville? You know, they won in Winston-Salem. They're back on the road again at Miami. The Canes are coming off, back-to-back road trips with NC State and the BC game. So, if you're Louisville, this seems like a game you're supposed to win, especially if you're a top 20 team playing well and healthier than your opponent. That seems to be the case.
There you go. So a couple of men's ball games tomorrow for you right here on ACC Network. Good ones, too, I might add. Boston College at Notre Dame at 4 o'clock, and then 8 o'clock tomorrow night we get Louisville and Miami.
Real quick.
As well. By the way.
Don't you think Notre Dame
hang on,
feels –
let me promote.
Go ahead.
BC Notre Dame at 4, and then 8 o'clock, 16th-ranked Louisville at Miami. There you go.
All right.
Got it all covered up. We paid the bills on that one, Pack.
Right. I was going to say about that BC game with Notre Dame. I feel with Notre Dame the same way I felt about BC and Miami. You know, you're at home. You got to find a win.
Right.
I feel the same way about Notre Dame in this game. Hey, you're at home. You got to find a win. That's a game. Not going to say it's a must win. But you better win that one if you're Notre Dame tomorrow.
Yeah. One note here on the schedule. Because of a contact trace and a positive test within the NC State program, Georgia Tech and NC State put on ice yesterday by the Atlantic Coast Conference. By my count now, and as we all know, there's nothing official about this.
That's true.
17 games have been postponed in ACC play off their original date. One has been made up. That was Syracuse at North Carolina, originally scheduled for January 2nd. Two others have been accounted for, by meaning that two that were postponed were made up with games played in other spots in the schedule. So that still leaves, in a conservative estimate, 14 games still in space in ACC play, Pac. That number is big. That is a big number right now to find a runway at the end of February and March to make up the way the schedule lays out, doesn't it?
Number's going to get bigger, Wes. It's not going to get smaller. It's going to get bigger.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.